بقيت الألعاب الكبار في
الطريق نفسه. إيه مش عليك مش عليك مش عليك. لا
The last few chapters, can you just, they have completed four chapters so far.
They have completed four chapters.
If we didn't take.
We completed four chapters.
So can somebody summarize chapter from introduction in 2 minutes? Introduction and four chapters means total five. Quickly. Who can? Introduction, main point. Anavilashitashunyam. That was the main point. Yeah, Anavilashitashunyam means that was the main, the whole Bhakti Rasamrita, the whole book is based on this particular sloka. Anavilashitashunyam. Chapter 1, then? Chapter 1. What we discussed?
Six
characteristics. Of devotional service. Second, you can refer the title. You can take that book, Madhu.
Connection, previous connection.
Sadhan Bhakti, Vaini Bhakti. In first chapter, we also have the, you know, characteristics in detail, and in second chapter, we found Vaini Bhakti, Sadhan Bhakti. Then in third, no, it is not there, it is there. This front of you. Yes, there. Near the pink book. Yes, Kanishk Madhyama Uttam. Yes, then. Yes. Yes. In second chapter, I think that was also there. You know, how there are different ways the bhakti is independent. Then, chapter third. What was that in third chapter? Yes. Anything else? Devotional service is independent, and it is not supported or based by any other process like Gyan, Marg, or not only that. The devotees, they have no desire for bhakti. They do not have desire for liberation. They are shuddha, nishkam. Devotional service is, you know, nishkam. Next, chapter 4. It was continuation. What is the title of that? Chapter 4. Yes. What are the five kinds of liberation? And which is considered to be the lowest? That is merging to the merging into Brahman. Okay. And there are many different quotations from Srimad Bhagavatam regarding, you know, emphasizing that how, you know, devotees are beyond liberation, and how the devotional service, you know, is far better than liberation. So now, chapter 5, it is, the subject, the title is Purity of Devotional Service. So, I don't go into much detail about, because in that book which you have xeroxed, you will get nectar of devotion sloka division. That chapter one is from this sloka to this sloka, like that. So that you can get it from there. In chapter 5, all of the previous instructions imparted by Srila Rupa Goswami in his broad statement can be summarized thus: as long as one is materially inclined or desirous of merging into the spiritual effulgence, one cannot enter into the realm of pure devotional service. Next, Rupa Goswami states that devotional service is transcendental to all considerations, and that is not limited to any particular country, class, society, or circumstances. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, devotional service is transcendental and has no cause. Devotional service is executed without any hope for gain, and it cannot be checked by any material circumstances. It is open for all without any distinction, and it is the constitutional occupation of the living entities. This is, you know, very important and very much, you can say, a principle of devotional service, a strong principle. What is that? Devotional service is executed without any hope for gain, and it cannot be checked by any material circumstances. You have an example when Srila Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had the first meeting. So what was the proposal by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati to Prabhupada? What you should do? And what was the reply from Prabhupada? So then immediately Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati emphasized this point, that bhakti cannot be checked by any material circumstances. When material circumstances we are talking, that means physical level, mental level, you know, and place, circumstances, time, everything. Bhakti is independent. It cannot be checked. There is no one who can claim that because of these reasons I am not able to do my devotional service. Because bhakti is transcendental. Because there is no reason, there cannot be any obstacle. Obstacle, whatever we see, all obstacles have remedy. There is nothing that bhakti can be checked. You know, it is nothing like somebody, he started bhakti and he stopped because of some strong reason. No. Bhakti cannot be checked. Bhakti can be checked only by ignorance. You know, or in other words, it cannot be checked, but we get influenced by ignorance. So we stop it, but bhakti cannot be checked. In any condition, in any worst condition, we have got plenty of examples. That, you know, like some people may say that devotional service, you know, it is possible only intelligent class of people. Or some who are educated only. Or some people, they say that who are only, you know, financially strong, they can only do bhakti. Or it's called an organization where, you know, all high-class people are coming. Some people may say like that. But Prabhupada has always rejected all these things. Now, bhakti is not, you know, restricted in such things. So, a second thing is important. It is open for all without any distinction, and it is the constitutional occupation for every living entity. This is constitutional occupation. This constitutional occupation means not optional. It is not that you want to do, then you do, and you don't want to do, then you don't. It's not optional. For example, you eat, eating is not optional, you know. There is no option that you can survive without that. It is a need, or it is constitutional. It's connected with your own self. It is not optional. So bhakti cannot be check, and it is, you know, like further elaboration is there by Prabhupada. This wonderful paragraph is this. In the Middle Ages, after the disappearance of Lord Chaitanya's great associate, Lord Nityananda, A class of priestly persons claimed to be the descendants of Nityananda Prabhu, calling themselves as Goswami caste. They further claim that the practice and spreading of devotional service belongs only to their particular class, which was known as Nityananda Vamsha. In this way, they exercised their artificial power for some time until Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the powerful acharya of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, completely smashed their idea. There was a great hard struggle for some time, but it has turned out successfully and is now correctly and practically established that devotional service is not restricted to a particular class of man. Besides that, anyone who has engaged in devotional service is already at the status of being a high class Brahmin. The Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's struggle for this moment has come out successful. You know how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati fought, you know? He was, since beginning, he was very strong in this. He never allowed, actually first, when he was with Bhakti Vinod Thakur, that time he already started arguing, rejecting this Vamsa thing and all. But what happened when he went to Jagannath Puri? If you have anybody of you read 7th Goswami book? Anybody you read 7th Goswami? The biography of Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Autobiography of Bhakti Vinod Thakur. So, it's a wonderful book. Whenever you are free, you should read that. Because when you read Acharya's life, it is there. It is there. It is there. It's really very touching book. Very, you know, when you read that book, you will get so much determination and clarity of your spiritual life. Because you are reading Acharya's life. Very, very nice. Actually, myself, I am very much, you know, it is my own self-choice. I love to read Acharya's life. So, even Prabhupada biography also. When you read Prabhupada biography, Ray of Vishnu, and also Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav. 3 volumes. Yeah, Bhakti Kampai. Very strong book. Then Bhakti Thakur, Gaur Krishna Babaji is there. There is a book called Babaji Maharaj. In Babaji Maharaj, there are two Babajis, like biography are given. Two or three. One is Gaur Krishna Babaji, second is Jagannath Das Babaji. And third is, I think, some other, I forgot. Vansi Vadan, Vansi Das, something, Vansi Vadan or some other Babaji. So these three Babaji, and you read the lines. Then Bhaktivinoda Thakur, 7th Goswami. Then also there are some books where you will get Sar Goswami. That's nectar. When you read Sar Goswami's, you know, life. So, well, but when I was reading this, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's, so that time, I read when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, in his young age, he was staying in Jagannath Puri with his father. And he was very strong and he was very, you know, like straightforward. He never accepted any compromise and anything. Then he saw there are a few temples, you know, you might know, Haridas Thakur Samadhi and some few places, where still there are certain Apasampradayas are there. Some of them are calling themselves as Goswami. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he started arguing and fighting with them, verbally. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur came to know that there are certain scandals are being, you know, to kill Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. They have already planned. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur was little care that he is a young man and, you know, he will have young blood, he will fight and, you know, then he sent him back to Mayapur. Go back. You don't stay in Jagannath Puri. Then what happened? That he started then after Bhaktivinoda Thakur disappeared and then he became, you know, Gaudiya Math, he established Gaudiya Math and everything. And Bhaktivinoda Saraswati, he smashed out all these people. Completely. All Aula, Baula, Sakhi, Dekhi, what is it? Gauranga Nagari, all. All Apasampradaya, everyone. Now, especially this Nityananda Vansha. Nityananda Vansha means they were descendant of Nityananda. They call themselves as we are descendant. And they are also staying, some of them are staying in Vrindavan also. They call themselves as a Jati Goswami. So, that Bhaktivinoda Saraswati smashed out them. With proper, you know, scriptural evidences and proper arguments and smashed out. So now by his mercy, is, you know, now much better situation. I mean, if you go to Mayapur, even in Mayapur, there were so many such things. So many. You remember Bhaktivinoda Saraswati was doing Navadvip Mandal Parikrama when he was doing that time. There was a attack to Parikrama. Do you remember that? There was some attack to Bhaktivinoda Saraswati and then they started, you know, stoning. And not only that, one of the disciples of, I mean, Keshav Maharaj, I suppose, his disciple. Then he was very new, I think, that time, and he changed the clothes. You know, Bhaktivinoda Saraswati. In movie you saw, Abhay Charan movie you saw. Bhaktivinoda Saraswati took the other clothes and then he went and he hired him. Somehow there. Then other time there was they gave supari for Bhaktivinoda Saraswati to some person. And that person was, you know, he was like a killer or that kind of, you know. So that person, he came to Bhaktivinoda Saraswati and he said that these people have given me supari for you. I actually said that I know you are a very saintly man. I don't want to do any harm to you. He said, okay, you say you can make some excuse that I ran away. So well, that has, there are few incidences are there. So it were very severe, but Prabhupada also has, you know, he also faced many things like this. So Jashomati Vandan Prabhu, he was famous for this thing. If you do not know, Srila Prabhupada had appointed Jashomati Vandan Prabhu to fight with these people. Prabhupada appointed him. And not exactly fighting, so it was not intensely fighting, but whoever come against, then you fight. And that's why Jashomati Vandan Prabhu was given service to invite all Vrindavan temple, you know, for Krishna Balaram temple opening. So he used to meet all Goswami, Jati Goswami, this and so. And because Prabhupada had trust upon Prabhu Jashomati Vandan Prabhu that you will be able to easily give arguments and strong points about this point, pure devotional service. That devotional service is not bound by caste. Because they claim, as you read, we heard, that they claim that this service belong, bhakti belong to their particular class only. If you are not coming from that class, that means you are rejected. You cannot do anything. So this, all these things Jashomati Vandan Prabhu shared with me, that, you know, how he has to, you know, counteract the argument. So in this regard, we are just getting some that means it is not, three things are mentioned: birth, purity, and varnashram dharma. These three points are mentioned in this chapter. So we are taking only, we discuss about first point, that is birth. In page number 48, it is that this point is particularly relevant to the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So Prabhupada writes, our Krishna Consciousness movement in the Western world is based on the above mentioned position of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada, our spiritual master. On his authority, we are claiming members from all sections of the Western countries. So the so-called Brahmanas claim that one who is not born into Brahman family cannot receive the sacred state and cannot become a high-grade Vaishnava. But we do not accept such theory because it is not supported by the Goswami. nor by the strength of the various scriptures. So, Prabhupada, he started giving Brahmin trade. That was, and if you remember, and if you read in Prabhupada biography or somewhere, that still it was acceptable to giving Brahmin initiation to ladies, to Mata. It was like, they made a big opposition. Then Prabhupada again counteracted and established that women can also become Brahmin, because then they do not remain women. When they come to Krishna consciousness, they are souls. They do not remain women. They can also render themselves. Then Prabhupada engaged our Matajis also to worship deities. And now you see that because we have to preach in Western world and internationally, so here we do not have that so strong, but we have few Matajis who are very good speakers in our temple, in our moment, you know. Like Malati Mataji, Urmila Mataji, you know, Prabhupada disciples. There are many other like Prashanta Mataji. She is a Bhakti Sastri teacher, and right now she is the department head of Bhakti Sastri in Vrindavan. She is a wonderful speaker. And devotees in Vrindavan, every regular base, they are having Mataji speakers, giving lectures. So all these things Prabhupada has established. That's why we are always requesting you become teacher next July batch, you become teacher. Mataji. So, whatever it is, but Prabhupada has established this principle. That's the point. Yeah. And Prabhupada has given second initiation to Chinese, African, all categories. Because we have this sloka, Kirat, Hunadar, Pulinda, Pulukasha, Abhirashambha, Yavanaka, Sadhya. Was it? This stoka, Prabhupada used to quote again and again, that whoever takes shelter of a pure devotee, takes shelter of pure devotees, they may be coming from any caste, Kirat, Hun, Andhra, Pulin, Pulkash, Abhir, Shambha, Yavan, Khat, all this listed. They coming from any caste or even lower than that. Shuddhyanti tasmai. Shuddhyanti. They are purified. Shuddhyanti. So tasmai prabhavishnave nama. I bow down to that Vishnu. This is from Srimad Bhagavatam. Our devotees should learn such sloka to quote, while giving lectures. The devotional service is beyond these categories of consideration of or disqualification. Bhakti. So by quoting Padma Purana, Skanda Purana, Hari Bhakti Vilas, Srila Prabhupada Swami confirms that advancement and perfection in devotional service is equally open for all people regardless of birth. So this point is established about birth. And also, we just go a little about how Prabhupada has given some comments. How that Vaishnavas are already Brahmana. Because when you take to Krishna, you become Brahmana. Prabhupada, it is commented on by Jiva Goswami that a person born into Brahmin family waits to be initiated as twice born. To take birth in the family of a Brahmin is not sufficient qualification. This is from Prabhupada lecture. He has to study the Vedas. He has to be initiated with the trade ceremony. So many ritualistic performance. So the distinction is being made by Jiva Goswami that a son of Brahmin awaits so many ritualistic ceremonies before he is competent to perform yajna. So this point actually is giving that one can, kiba vipra kiba nyaya shudra kane noy. Jai Krishna tattva vitta. Sei guru hai. Jai Krishna tattva vitta sei guru hai. So Even a person who is born a dog eater, that is another. What is that? No, sloka.
Swapan.
Shloka bolo. No. What is that?
So, Brahman is the Param Supreme.
Yeah. Shlopacha Garishtam. What is the sloka? Mantra Tantra Visharada. What is that? Mantra Tantra Visharada. Guru Nasyat Vaishnava Swapacha Guru. Something like that. Even our Swapacha is Vaishnava, is Guru. Mantra Tantra. That 12 kinds of quality, even he is having all the quality of Brahmin, Mantra Tantra Vishalda, he is very expert in Mantra Tantra. But if he is not a Vaishnava Guru Nasya, something. If he is not Vaishnava, he is not Guru. Vaishnava Supacha Guru. Even Vaishnava is accepted as Guru if he is, Vaishnava. So one may question, how he becomes purified if he is born into family of dog eaters? How does he become purified? According to smart consideration, as per the smart theory, he requires next birth. That smart which are, unless a person born into low grade family takes another birth, he cannot become eligible to become a Brahmana. But according to Goswami Vichar, that is smart Vichar, this is Goswami Vichar, if he is properly initiated by a bona fide Vaishnava, then he becomes more than a Brahmin. I mean, our Indian Brahmins, those who are spiritual leaders, are not actually taking care of the fallen souls. This point Prabhupada established, I don't go in detail, this point Prabhupada established here, A.P. Anti Paramahati. So, and there is another, Prabhupada says that, and following the footsteps of Advaita Acharya, Advaita Prabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, these Vaishnavas from foreign countries, those who are actually purified, that the process of initiation should be accepted. They should not be neglected. Unfortunately, there is some silent protest that I am ruining the Hindu region because I am initiating the Europeans and Americans, therefore I am ruining Hindu region. There is a grudge against me. But just consider this point, that I am going strictly according to the regulation given by the Goswamis and the Acharyas. So that is the point. But Prabhupada, when Mahaprabhu has predicted, Prithivite Ache Chata Nagarajigram, means Prithivite means we have to, means that is, he predicted, practically we are trying to carry out the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Whoever has taken birth as a human being should engage his life for Rukka. Also he said, Prithvi say, all over the town. So we are trying to do that. His name should be established. Does not mean that they should remain as Yavanas and Lechas and they chant the Holy Name. A person who chant the Holy Name, how can he remain Yavanas? They should simply know Lord Chaitanya. Actually the fact is that everyone should be elevated to the position of Vaishnava, purified Vaishnava. Is recommended in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, this point is established that devotional service is independent, is not checked by somebody's birth. So, Vaishnava is good and Brahmin also, we give training how to become Brahmin, like this course, Bhakti course. It is not like that somebody just come and take Brahmin. Prabhupada make them properly, strong enough. That you become qualified to become Brahmin, you get proper reason about it. Then second is purity. So I read the first paragraph of 49. Although a major prerequisite for other process of self-realization, purity is not a factor in determining one's eligibility to perform devotional service. Even if a devotee falls down from the standard of purity, he did not undergo any separate process of purification called prayaschita, such as karma or jnana. He can again take up to devotional service immediately and be reinstated. One need not become purified before taking up devotional service. On the contrary, one becomes purified by taking up devotional service. You know, this is contradiction. What is that? Sometimes we become pure and take up bhakti? No. Take to bhakti and become pure. This is the understanding. Sometimes we speak to devotees that you should take initiation. No, no. Let me become strong enough. Then they take few years. I always tell them that you will never become strong enough until you take to bhakti. You take initiation, then you will become strong enough. Of course, it is not like that we just, you know, freely distributing bhiksha. Not that. But one should not just depend on his own endeavors. You know, that I will become strong and I will become, not like that. To validate this claim, Rupa Goswami quotes Srimad Bhagavatam 11.21.2. It says that the only qualification for beginning devotional service is to follow the principles given by Acharya. There is no need for any other method of purification. Regarding purification method, would you like to quote some examples?
Yes. One example was that, like, when Brahman was there and that Malaksha, you know, straight into his mouth. He told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
What was his name? Subuddhi Roy. What was that, the thing? Subuddhi Roy.
That Malaksha converted him into that. Then
he was once upon a time he was a king. You know the Subuddhi Roy story. Once upon a time he was a king, and time changed. Then he became the minister, and minister became the king. And then, you know, then there was the begum was there. She saw that there was some mark on his back. Well, when he was bigger up. By, you know, as a punishment, some small mistake with it. So, you should revenge. You should beat him up. He's not beating him, kill him. Then, that king was, no, we cannot give this good man. We cannot do that. But then, he said, okay, you do something that which is as good as that. Then, Musalman Maladi, Panajan, you know. We killed the water, and then he was outcasted, you know. And then he went to Varanasi, I think Kashi or Banaras somewhere. Then he asked there that what is the remedy? What should I do? Then what was the remedy?
Boiling ghee. Yes.
Yeah, you should drink the hot ghee. It is as good as. So we said, that's ridiculous, illogical. I don't feel satisfaction. Somebody told that, why don't you go to Mahaprabhu? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He went to Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu said, Eka Krishna Nama Loy, Sarva Papa Kshay. Just chant one holy name, all your sinful reactions will be gone. Just by one chant. So what happened after Subuddhi Rai? He took up Krishna consciousness. Then what happened? He started staying in Vrindavan, and he opened one ashram for the facilitator, you know, the widows. And then he used to, you know, bring some. He used to serve Vrindavan. That's the main thing he used to do. Subuddhi Rai. So he was clean, you know, cleansed out of all sinful reactions just by chanting the holy name. So that is the point that there is no other purification, purificatory process we should go. There are certain rituals, you know, we have to follow certain rituals as karmakanda. That you have to do this, you have to do that, you have to do this, this anushthan, this, so many. Because it is required for karmi, verbs, you know, following. Sometimes our devotees also get confused. We should follow that or we should not follow that. Karmi is marg, karmakanda marg. So sometimes we just go what Prabhupada has taught us, that we follow only few things which are required to, you know, for the, you know, just to show the example to people. That's not all. But internally, devotees are beyond all this, you know, karmakanda things. So, yes. Okay, I'm fine. Thank you. So, second point is established, and third is Varnashram Dharma. So in Varnashram Dharma there are many quotations. Srila Rupa Goswami says that the process is not dependent on proper execution of prescribed duty. It is not entirely accurate to say that one must first become purified in Varnashram and then concentrate on bhakti. Srila Rupa Goswami says many sastric evidences to confirm this. Sometimes we have some misconception that one has to become first established in Varnashram process. There are few people, sometimes even in our movement also, who are not properly matured enough. They give preference to Varnashram so much high. You know, sometimes it happens. You know, not to offend them, but I'm just sharing that. Sometimes it happens, they have sin. Or some who are not mature, they do like this. You know, they are just taking up Varnashram and then they start spreading it, but they do not understand it by, you know, fully, thoroughly. They don't understand. And that time they make offenses to bhakti. What? That Varnashram is more important than any other thing, they say like that. And they give Prabhupada quotation from different scriptures. But we should be very intelligent enough to understand that we cannot just take to one point of Prabhupada and just stick to that point, and we do not care for the other point Prabhupada says. Sometimes it happens that sometimes one sticks to only Archana Vidhi. Sometimes one sticks to only book distribution. Sometimes stick to only Harinam, or sometimes they stick to only Varnashram, or only food for life, or only cow protection. No, Prabhupada has given proper instruction for each. That is, like, it is all are important. It's not just one is important. All are important. Yeah. Not that something is, like, to be done. The main point is that Varnashram here, this clarity at least should be there for our Brahmin, our devotee. That Varnashram is not considered to be the, you know, what you call, a mean to come to Krishna consciousness. That if you want to become a devotee, you should be established in Varnashram. No. Srimad Bhagavatam, Narada Muni says, even if one does not execute his specific occupational duty, but immediately takes directly shelter of the lotus feet of Hari, Krishna, there will be no fault on his part. And in all circumstances, his position is secure. Now, second, 11th canto. My dear Uddhava, any person who takes shelter of me in complete surrender and follows my instruction, giving up all occupational duties, it should be considered first class man. So, well, there are a few more quotations. One more is there. My dear King, if someone gives up his occupational duty, as they are prescribed for different varnas and ashram, but takes complete shelter, surrendering himself unto the lotus feet of the Lord, such a person is no more a debtor, nor has he any need to bother executing the five kinds of yajnas, pancha yajnas, for becoming free from sinful contamination. Simply by discharging devotional service, he is free from all kinds of obligations. Simply by. Wait. What is that sloka? Mm. memory is telling something bad. Well, in the second chapter, if you remember, in one of the purports, Prabhupada is quoting that. That one who is surrendered to Krishna, who is devotee, is not, bound to, he has no obligation left. What is that? He does not have to pay anything to king, not to pitrus, not to society, nothing. What is the sloka? This is required. One should understand that is called faith. That is called faith. When you have faith that by chanting and by repeating, Krishna karma kaile, sarva karma krita hoy. This is called faith. Just by doing Krishna karma, all the karma will be automatically fulfilled. You do not have to do this. Is called faith. That faith will be required to develop. Just by Krishna karma, everything else will be okay, perfect. Clearly, devotional service is not dependent on varnashram dharma. Simply by engaging in devotional service, one will achieve all necessary purification. So, Rupa Goswami quotes Bhagavad Gita, give up all your occupation and just become surrendered to me. I give you assurance that I shall give you protection from all sensory excesses. If you remember, there was a discussion between Ramananda Roy and Mahaprabhu. Ramananda Roy is giving one by one, and he first is saying that one should establish oneself in Varnashram. And Mahaprabhu says, Eho Bahi. So, that is the glories of bhakti. When you read that conversation between Ramananda Roy and Mahaprabhu, you will understand clearly what is bhakti. And then goes one by one, step 2, 3, 4, 5. And then not only Mahaprabhu is dragging Ramananda Roy to the highest platform of place, Vipralamba Seva. Highest, Madhuri Ras, and in Madhuri there is Vipralamba. That service is, that's why Chaitanya Chaitanya is nectar. When you read it, you understand. So, these 3 points are rest on this, Varanashram. So these are the main points in this particular chapter. So Prabhupada emphasized the point in page number 51-52. Don't hesitate. Don't consider that because you are giving up all other engagement, there will be some flaw in your life. Don't think like that. I will give you all protection. That is Krishna said. If any doubt remains, Rupa Goswami quotes Agastya Samhita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So conclusion is inspirational. Bhakti yoga is totally independent and self-sufficient. No material impediment should discourage one from the path of surrender. No material consideration. One should never consider something this is material. So we are finishing chapter 5. And let me just go to the summary of this chapter. If you want to point out this chapter, you can make a theme of the chapter. How to theme is? First point is transcendental nature of devotional service. You can just list out it. It is better. Beyond all material consideration. This is called summary of the chapter. Second is not limited to any particular country, class, society or circumstance. This is actually from book only, but we are just listing that. Third point, it is open for all without distinction because it is constitutional occupation of all living entities. This is third point. Then Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Krishna. Cockroach. So, regarding Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's contribution, there are four points. નથી આની પાછળ જ પાટલો હટાવ પાટલો ઇન ભક્તિ સિદ્ધાંત ધેર આર ફોર પોઈન્ટ ડુ આઈ લિસ્ટ આઉટ ધેમ ફોર યુ આઈ મીન યુ નો વાય આઈ એમ ગિવિંગ યુ ધીસ સમરી દેટ ઇન કેસ યુ જસ્ટ વોન્ટ ટુ ગો થ્રુ ક્વિકલી વોટ ઇઝ ધીસ ઇન ધીસ ચેપ્ટર So you can easily, you know, quickly you can just go through the chapter for your examination. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, first 3 points you count, got, no? First. Beyond all material consideration. Second, not limited to any particular country, class, society, circumstances. Third point, open for all without distinction because it is constitutional occupation of all living entities. And fourth, I mean, in Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati contribution, next Nityanand Vamsa. Second is, you know, establishing devotional service, not restricted to a particular class of man. You can just short. You can write in short words, you know, not required to write fully. Third point, establish that anyone who is engaged in devotional service is already high class Brahmin. Who is in bhakti is high class Brahmin. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's fourth contribution is he established foundation on which ISKCON is built. Then there are three evidence, one Padma Purana, one Kali Purana, and third is Hari Bhakti. Then, second point, just from Rupa Goswami, you can find out this particular point from NOD, but it is Vaishnava cult is not a ritual that rubber stamps somebody. You know. That point is there. Then, second point about independence is prayership is not required for devotees. And third point, bhakti has nothing to do with karma jnana. That's simple. Then there are many evidences that are given that we do not read. That you can read sometimes. So we don't do exercise, we just go to the next chapter. There are some group discussion exercise. So that we do not do, group discussion. Go to the next step. Actually, this group discussion is helpful when you are presenting some point, you know, to some particular class of people. This is very helpful. But anyway, you can just. I just ask one question out of this to all the body. There are a few questions, but I just ask one question. initiation by a bona fide spiritual master and one's endeavor to perform devotional service properly. Which of these two is the more important? Yes. How? Try to keep in mind we are trying to get the answer from this chapter. You got the question? Question is two things. Initiation by a bona fide spiritual master. And second is one's endeavor to perform bhakti properly, trying to do properly. Which is better? Yeah, say how? Yes. Okay, from then. But why it is bad? Last lecture we discussed this point that our whatever devotional service we do, Krishna will never accept it. Krishna do not accept. Krishna doesn't accept this. Whatever we do, actually everything is going. Whatever, not only this deity offering, even you are chanting, you are cleaning the temple, you are cooking for the deity. Everything Guru takes. Krishna does not take everything. Even if you clean the temple, then Krishna has nothing to do with that. The Guru sees he is cleaning the temple. And Guru will give this service to Krishna. So that is the point, yes? Anybody? Who?
Smartas used to say in next birth we have to take. But by Guru only we can take in this birth.
Yes. We can try to do perform devotional service properly. By your own endeavors, you won't get success. Actually, this is theoretically we understand. But practically, we try to depend on our own endeavors.
There are many practical examples in your own life. You can see that sometimes you have done something to the power of God. Not every time. When you become spiritually lethargic, then you feel something.
It's Guru's mercy that he helps to realize. Yes. That actually it is good that sometimes Guru makes some arrangement, some situation, some circumstances, some period that you pass through, that you have to believe this. That is his causeless mercy. He makes such arrangement that you have no option. You have to do it. Guru says something.
That bound person cannot help.
But he is doing his one's endeavor.
But he is already bound by material nature. There is no hope for that. Only that liberated person only.
That is not important. Rashid is not important.
By doing this
devotional service,
you automatically
take from
that
class.
This is the mystery
of Krishna. Yes. This is given in that. The mystery of Krishna. Not Pashas. Yeah, but his own endeavors, he cannot make, whatever simple reaction I heard. sinful acts I have, you know, committed, so I need to first clean it up, or find, you know, I will do nice bhakti, I will do shivji, I will go to Radha Puni chant. But actually, you know, when you, like, there were few devotees who used to go to Radha Puni and chant, and the other side, Prabhupada is giving lectures. So once Prabhupada said, he was in Fogla Ashram. Prabhupada said, where are these devotees? Oh, some devotees, Prabhupada, they have gone for more than Prabhupada and Radha Puni to chant. And then when they came back, Prabhupada asked them, where were you? He said, yeah, you become very happy. And they said, Prabhupada, we went to Radha Puni and we chanted ourselves there. We didn't go on Parikrama. Then Prabhupada did not respond. Prabhupada just looked at them and Prabhupada said, there are so many monkeys in Vrindavan. Prabhupada said, we don't want two more monkeys. We don't try to become monkeys. Prabhupada said, when a spiritual master is giving lecture, this is your Radha Puni. I was discussing with Radha Puni Mataji. You know, Prabhupada is telling Prabhupada. I was discussing with Radha Puni Mataji and she was sharing certain things about her own experience. That, well, I don't